Chapter 20. Where to? Lexi asked after they were belted into their seats in her car. I need to get to the bakery. I can't leave Cassie to do all the work, especially since there's the added cleanup duties from the Kingsley brunch.
Oh, we can help with that, Nan said. Ruth can dig into that writer's conference on her iPad and also get me Susan's son's phone number. I can call right from the bakery.
Lexi didn't really want the ladies' help. Their idea of helping was usually to sit at the front table in the corner and eat her pastries for free. But she wanted to stay up to date with the investigation, and it couldn't really hurt anything to have them at the bakery. Okay, fine, but don't eat all my chocolate frosted brownies like you did last time. Lexi swung the car around and headed toward the cup and cake, with Ruth tapping away on the iPad the entire time. I didn't find anything about Olive, or Connie, rather, other than to say she was at the conference. There's no pictures or anything, and she wasn't on any boards or panels. So I'm afraid my research is inconclusive, Ruth said as they all piled out of Lexi's car and into the back door of the bakery. Cassie was in the kitchen working on a Boston cream pie. Her eyes widened and her face cracked into a smile when she saw Nance and the ladies.
Hey, ladies, what a great surprise. I didn't know you were coming to visit today.
She winked at Lexi.
Oh, we're just here to help out. We took up some of Lexi's time, and we know you girls are extra busy with that catering job this morning, so we figured we'd come in and lend a hand, Nance said.
Cassie's gaze flicked from Nance to Lexi.
The cafe tables need to be cleaned, and the pastry case needs to be stocked with these cookies.
Cassie pointed to a tray of flower-shaped cookies decorated in colorful blue, pink, and purple frosting. Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen reached into the box of food service gloves, each pulling out a pair and putting them on. Ida grabbed the tray of cookies.
Don't worry, we'll do a good job,
she assured them as they turned and hurried toward the front of the bakery. Happy to be among the familiar sights, smells, and sounds of the bakery, Lexi got to work putting away the things they'd used at the Kingsley brunch. She boxed up some of the leftover pastries to bring to the food shelter later on, and made a special box for Nance and the ladies to take back to the retirement center.
Things went well at the Kingsleys,
Cassie said as they worked side by side in the kitchen.
Very good, until Ida almost went swimming in the pond, Lexi said.
That was kind of funny, Cassie said.
Are you making any headway on that case?
It sure was a shocker that Olive Pendleton was still alive. I thought she was your murder victim.
Yeah, no kidding.
But we did see someone get murdered. We have a couple of ideas who else it could be.
But didn't you see it on video? How come you thought it was Olive?
It looked like her. Turns out she has an assistant that could be a stunt double, and the maid is blonde with a similar hairstyle. The video was kind of grainy, and Ida was a little jittery. We only ever saw the victim from the back.
Oh, I could see how you could make that mistake.
Did you tell Jack yet? Cassie peered up at her over the Boston cream pie.
I texted him. I'm not supposed to call him during the workday unless it's an emergency. John said that Jack was doing some extra work looking into this. He's not going to be happy.
No kidding. But it was an honest mistake. And somebody did die. So there is a murder to investigate. The bells over the door chimed, signaling the entrance of a customer. Cassie nodded toward the front.
Your turn.
Out in front, Nance and the ladies had cleaned off the bistro tables, stocked the cookies in the display case, and were now sitting at one of the tables with various brownies, scones, and cupcakes laid out in front of them, as well as steaming cups of coffee and tea.
We can wait on the customers, too, Lexi, Ruth said hopefully.
No way did she want Nans and the ladies waiting on customers. That's okay. I'll get them. Lexi turned to the middle-aged couple that had come in. Can I help you? We'd like a dozen cupcakes. Can we pick them out? Of course. Lexi opened the back door of the case and pulled out the cupcakes one by one as the woman picked them out. She placed them in a white bakery box, which she tied up with twine, and brought over to the cash register once they were done. After the couple had paid and were out the door, Nans motioned her over. I'm going to call Susan's son now. Do you want to listen in? I've already figured out a good angle to get him to talk. Lexi glanced out at the sidewalk. It was not a busy time of day. The bakery was usually busiest at lunchtime and after people got out of work. This would be a perfect time for Nance to call, with little risk of customers coming in and wondering what in the world they were doing. What's the number, Ruth? Nance asked. Ruth rattled off a number and Nance dialed, then held the phone a little bit away from her ear, while everyone leaned in to try to hear the conversation.
Hello?
The son's voice came out of Nan's phone.
Hi, is this Brent Chambers?
Nans asked.
Yes.
The voice was cautious.
Oh, good. This is Helen Smith. I'm a reporter at the Brook Ridge Falls Chronicle, and we're doing a piece on family members of famous local personalities.
I think you might have the wrong number. I live in Kentucky.
I know that, dear, but your aunt, Olive Pendleton, is a local celebrity, and I spoke with your mother, Susan, and now I could really use your input to my article.
You talked to my mom?
Yes.
Nance paused.
I know you're having some difficulties, but I think things are going to work out.
Brent snorted.
Work out? I don't think so.
What do you mean? Why, just the other day when I spoke to Susan, she was mailing you a letter.
Yeah, a letter telling me to stop contacting her.
Brent's voice turned suspicious.
And why are you asking about this anyway? If you talked to my mother, you would know she doesn't want to talk to me. And just what does this have to do with my weird Aunt Olive anyway?
So you think she's weird too, huh?
Nan said.
She's known to be very eccentric, and her husband doesn't help much.
Yeah, I'll say. They have my mom turned against me, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's terrible, dear. You must be awfully upset. What happened?
Nan's voice was sympathetic, but her eyes held an eager glint, as if she'd found a little chink in his armor that she could work away at and hopefully get more information.
We had a stupid falling out over an old girlfriend I had years ago. We hadn't talked in almost 5 years when I contacted her, trying to reconcile. Apparently, since I left, she spent more and more time with Olive and Rupert. I guess she doesn't need me anymore.
The ladies exchanged a look, and Lexi knew what they were thinking. What Brent didn't know was that apparently Susan had been spending a lot more time with Rupert than she had with Olive.
I'm sure that's not true, dear. A mother always needs her son,
Nan soothed.
Well, apparently not my mother, because my mother is on an extended trip in Europe. She sent me a picture of her and Olive and told me in no uncertain terms that she would be incommunicado. I'm not stupid. I can take a hint.
So you're not even going to keep trying to reconcile?
Nans asked.
It seems pointless. She's refusing to talk to me. And the last letter made it pretty clear that she was still angry.
But that won't last forever.
Well, the original fight was pretty bad. She even changed her will. But that's not why I'm trying to reconcile with her. I don't care about the money.
Of course not, dear. Then why are you trying to reconcile?
She's my mom.
Brent's voice took on a sheepish tone. And, well, she was right about the girl.
I see, Nan said. Moms usually are.
Brent chuckled.
Yes, I realize that now that I'm older. Maybe things will work out. I just don't know if Aunt Olive is such a great influence.
Nan's brows shot up.
Oh, why do you say that?
It's nothing bad, just that my mom doesn't have a very strong personality. She can be easily persuaded to do things, and Olive and Rupert are, well, they're a little odd. I just don't want Mom to get into something that she can't get out of.
Ruth snorted and muttered under her breath,
"Too late for that." So, as you can see, I don't really have much information about what it's like to have a local celebrity in the family. I've been out of town for years. So, unfortunately, I don't think I have anything to add to your article.
Well, thank you for your time, Nan said, and I hope things work out with your mom.
Nan's hung up the phone, a sad look on her face.
I didn't have the heart to tell him that his mother is right here in town.
And the suspect in a murder investigation, Ida added.
Seems weird that she would tell him she's in Europe, Ruth said.
I bet Rupert put her up to it. It sounds like Susan can be easily manipulated, and Rupert wouldn't want Brent to come sniffing around, Lexi said.
Ruth tapped her index finger against her pursed lips.
Another thing he said bothered me. He implied he'd been written out of Susan's will, which means Olive was probably written in.
Which means Rupert is probably after that money, because it's fairly obvious he doesn't have any, and I'm beginning to doubt whether Olive does either.
Yeah, but how is he going to do that? I'm sure that if Susan wrote Brent out of the will, she probably made Olive her beneficiary.
There's only one other way for Rupert to get the money. He'd have to marry Susan, or somehow convince her to make him the beneficiary,
Helen said.
And if he was going to marry her, that would mean he would have to not be married to Olive,
Lexi pointed out.
And there's only two ways for him to accomplish that.
Ida paused dramatically.
Divorce her or kill her.